Thanks for downloading this podcast from the BBC. You're listening to Assignment with me, James Fletcher. The story you're about to hear first came about in June last year when the Japanese government finally outlawed the possession of real images of child sexual abuse. Now, at the time, there was also a debate about whether they should outlaw virtual images depicting children in sexual situations. These sorts of images are available in Japan's manga and anime. They're cartoons and comics. They're famous around the world, but also contain some quite shocking material, particularly when it comes to sexual images involving depictions of children. It's an issue that raises fascinating questions about child protection and freedom of speech. Many people outside of Japan can't understand why this sort of material is still freely available. So I went to Japan to find out. And I should warn you that this program contains material that some listeners might find shocking and offensive.
We're right now at the Yoshihiro Yonezawa Memorial Library of Manga and Subculture. It's located in downtown Tokyo.
So we're outside this building. It looks like, looking up, probably a 5 or 6 story building full of manga.
Oh, full of manga and other subculture-related materials.
Welcome back to Assignment on the BBC World Service. I'm James Fletcher, and this week I'm in Japan to ask if comics should be crimes. In Japan, cartoons are called anime and comic books are called manga. My guide to the museum is Dan Kanemitsu. He's been translating manga for about 25 years.
Everybody and anybody can find their own manga, and I mean anybody and everybody. I mean, there are mangas about not liking manga. There's mangas for ultra-nationalists. There's mangas for feminists. There's mangas for neo-Nazis. You can think of anything.
From the minute you're through the door here, you can see just how diverse manga is. I can see robot manga. I can see fantasy manga. I can see manga for young girls, manga with more American style, cops and robbers figures in it.
One of the wonderful things about manga, particularly, is that all you need is a piece of paper and a pen, and you can draw your own manga.
If you've ever come across Astro Boy or Pokemon or Akira, Sailor Moon or Spirited Away, then you've encountered anime and manga. And even if those names draw blanks, you've probably seen the distinctive visual style.
Along the top of the shelves here, we have kind of art boards, original artwork from manga. Something you see a lot is the kind of cute style, the girls particularly with the big round face, the huge glassy-looking eyes, pretty much no nose and a tiny mouth.
And you can see just wide diversity. It's one of the wonderful things about this.
For people from overseas, when their first reference point is comics and cartoons, that's kind of throwaway stuff. It's for kids. You know, you grow out of it, as it were. So what role does manga play in anime?
I think manga and anime is something that has really taken a big foothold in Japan, not just something that's fantasy or child's play. Many people who might have migrated toward making rock music or toward movies have kind of migrated toward manga instead in Japan. And as a result, you have this huge industry, and some say that it's about 60% of the Japanese publishing industry revolves around manga or manga-related memorabilia, so it occupies a big space.
So we are in Akihabara, called the Electric Town, but as you can see around you, we're surrounded by images of anime manga characters. Akihabara is sort of the place, probably unique in the world, for the density of shops that are focusing on anime and manga. It's kind of a feast for the eyes. I'm sorry you can't see it, but basically Akihabara...
Well, just to describe it as we look around, it is a feast for the eyes. We look down the street and it's just an onslaught of signs and neon displays with manga characters. They're incredibly colourful, and it's not just a visual spectacle, it's a sonic spectacle as well, as music pouring out of every shop.
It's one of the places where you can really come to get a sense of sort of that beating heart, that living culture that surrounds anime and manga.
If you want an example of the global reach of that living culture, meet Patrick Galbraith. He grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, but a chance encounter with manga led to a lifelong fascination.
I remember the first time reading a comic, a manga, and being blown away and tears in my eyes. Because you have the text, which is poetic, then you have the drawings, which are beautiful, you have the story, which is moving you. It had me, it had captured me in a way that few other mediums had.
Patrick's such a big fan that he's now onto his second sociology PhD looking at manga culture. And when he's not doing that, he's hanging out in Akihabara, where he used to give tours. He takes me into one of the many manga bookstores, and we're about to see and describe content that some listeners might find shocking and offensive.
Over here we have a zoned area. This is restricted 18, adults only.
So we're going to have a look in here. And immediately we're struck by an onslaught of images again, and now all kind of featuring naked breasts and often much more.
Because this is the pornography section, yeah. I mean, these are images designed to get you off, right?
In Japan, censorship rules require genitals to be blurred in both real and virtual pornography. And in Tokyo, pornographic manga and anime has to be marked for over-18s only and sold in an area restricted to over-18s. But apart from that,
then anything goes, basically.
And so, looking around, it really does appear that anything goes. Anyway. I mean, we've got kind of bondage, S&M, fantasy stuff, nurses and schoolgirls, the tentacle stuff, which Japan's kind of famous for.
Right, so...
Yeah, so we've just come across one section here, which is the minority of what we see, but this very much looks like young girls. I mean,
absolutely.
There's no mistaking this.
And then,
this is definitely under 18, probably kind of under 13.
So here behind us, for example, this is an obviously young girl. Cute face, the twin tails, so the two ponytails,
the
small breasts. And she has her Randacell.
That's the school bag that they carry that marks it out as being that
and
age.
The words that she's saying are, big brother, I can't hold back anymore, right? So not only is it underage, but it's also incest, right?
And this is the sort of material that's proving really controversial. Right. It is confronting to see that kind of stuff.
Yes. And I'm with you. I mean,
how does it strike you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like this. These are the images. If I showed this to someone and I said, yes or no, they would say no, right?
So this is another image of a very, very young-looking girl, under 10, certainly posed in a very highly sexualized position, kind of licking a lollipop in a very suggestive way.
Right. So they would definitely say no.
How about you? I imagine many of you listening would say no to images like that too. Manga featuring drawings of young girls engaged in sexual situations is known as lolicon, short for Lolita Complex, and it often involves incest, rape, and other taboos. To outside eyes, and increasingly to many Japanese people, this sort of material can be shocking, and some other countries treat it very differently.
The stuff we're looking at, I could not buy and take back to the UK. I couldn't take it to Australia, I couldn't take it to Canada, because drawings of underage sex has been outlawed there.
Certainly. I mean, I'm about to go to Australia. I buy this, put it into my bag, and I unproblematically say, well, this is my pornography to the Border Patrol man. He's going to arrest me. In other places, they've interpreted the drawings themselves as a form of child pornography.
If other countries have banned this stuff, why hasn't Japan? You might be surprised to know that Japan only outlawed the possession of real images of child abuse last June. At the time, there was a debate about whether to also ban virtual images like drawings of characters who appear to be under 18. But in the end, they decided not to. So, while some countries say no to these images, why does Japan say yes?
So Hide-san is just taking me around Sunshine Creation now. It's huge.
In this event, this area, mainly dealing sexual creation.
On a Sunday afternoon, an exhibition hall in Tokyo is packed full of manga fans and creators. This event is called Sunshine Creation, and it's a marketplace for doujinshi, which means unofficial work created by fans. They often take characters from mainstream commercial manga and create the storylines that they want to see. And looking around the room, that often seems to mean sex. There's ample cleavage and impossibly proportioned cartoon women as far as the eye can see. My guide is one of the organisers, Hide. You've brought me to one stall here, which has got some manga on display, and straight from the cover you can tell it's highly sexual, involving characters that definitely look like children. Do you think that's disgusting?
Yeah, no, I like this kind of creation.
It's hard to understand something that looks like children in very highly sexual situations. What do you like about it?
I feel these characters are very pretty, and I have a desire to see fantasy girls have sexual intervention with each other in adolescent age.
So when you're an adolescent?
Yeah. we imagine some sexual situation with actual lovers.
With actual lovers, lovers or girlfriends.
Yeah. So it is same as it.
So how old are you now?
I'm 35 years old and I got married. And my wife is there.
But you still like to go back to imagining, as you did when you were an adolescent or a teenager, the fantasies of that age.
I still love enjoying this kind of creation.
What does your wife think of you reading this fantasy stuff with young girls in it?
Probably she thinks no problem, because she loves young boys sexually intact each other.
So you like what's known as lolicon, the young girls, and your wife likes shotacon, which is young boys.
Yeah, not sure. I like young girls' sexual creation. Lolicon is just one hobby of my many hobbies.
Handily enough, Hide's wife Ayumi is standing right near us.
What appeals to you about the fantasy of 16-year-old boys having sex?
I want to see stubborn or obstinate characters get a little bit bashful. I want to see strong characters with different expressions on their faces.
So here's another way of viewing this manga, as a way for adults to indulge what they see as harmless fantasies. You might feel that there's a difference between material which represents very young children and stuff which shows 16 or 17-year-olds. But it's often hard to tell. Japanese popular culture loves cuteness, known as kawaii. And in manga, this can make characters who are supposed to be over 18 or high school students look like younger children. But to fans like Hide, arguing over the age is irrelevant. What matters to him is that no one is hurt when a drawing is created.
There is no child abuse for creating sexual topic mangas. Everybody knows that child abuse is not good things. But having that kind of emotion is free. Real crime is perfectly bad. But enjoy imagining some sexual situation with a child is not prohibited.
It says something about Japan's tolerance for fantasy that Hide feels so comfortable talking about imagining sexual situations with children. It's hard to think that someone in the UK, Europe or the US would express the same thoughts so openly. How you view this probably depends on whether you believe in this separation between fantasy and reality. Let's go back to Akihabara. One of the guys who works in one of the shops selling the adult or erotic manga has come out on his break to have a quick word with us. His name is Tomo. Tomo, we're talking about the lolicon or the stuff featuring people who are underage. What do you like about it?
I feel that the more something is suppressed, the more human beings desire it. You could never do it in real life, but it can be achieved in manga. People get sexually excited by something and then become used to it, so they're always looking for something new and get sexually excited by young, immature women.
And that is why people think it's dangerous, because they think you want manga, then lolicon, and then you might want real children, that this is something that leads to pedophilia.
Yes, I think definitely that exists, but no one can deny that this kind of desire exists. I don't think we can completely shut it down. If we do, I can't help but think that suppressed desire could move to seeking real children. People release desire in manga, like in video games. People fight in games to release stress. I think it's the same thing.
Many people in Japan and elsewhere feel that this type of material could promote or normalise sexual offending. But there's no definitive evidence to support this view or the idea that it offers a safe outlet for people sexually attracted to children. A recent review by British police of the evidence relating to real images suggested that viewing them is correlated with offending, but there's not enough evidence to establish whether the images actually cause the offending. In Japan, crime statistics are also cited by both sides to argue their point. And in the end, it seems Japan's politicians haven't been convinced that manga and anime cause enough harm to justify a ban. I can see up on the wall there. You've also got quite a collection of figurines in the front row, these tiny little bears, and up the back, you've got about
four or five different figurines of Chewbacca from Star Wars. Are you a big Chewbacca fan?
Yeah. I love Chewbacca.
I've come to a small flat in the suburbs of Tokyo, which is also the studio of a manga artist called Esto Emu, which if in English would be S and M. Now, that has obvious connotations, but it also happens to be her initials. And she's just showing me around. And how long do you spend drawing manga every day?
Sometimes 20 hours.
Sometimes 20 hours. Wow.
Yeah, I can't sleep.
Esto Emu's work covers topics as wide-ranging as shoemaking, the Ottoman Empire, and her favourite, bullfighting. She's perhaps best known for making what's called boys' love, or BL, manga. Now, I know what you're thinking. Boys' love sounds just about as dodgy as you can get, another name for paedophilia. And the material does feature sexual relationships between men, where often one or both of the characters are under 18. The twist is that boys' love is mostly made by women, for a female readership, and it's popular. There's a road in Tokyo dedicated to stores selling BL manga, and even boys' love cafes where good-looking young men wait on female customers.
Even though men and women are mixed in society, they have completely different worlds. If you want to write a story only about male firefighters, the mood in the group will change slightly if a female firefighter joins, right? Boys' love reflects a desire to read about elements of love and sex by keeping the mood only male.
When women are reading about two men having sex, it seems to make it quite clear that it is fantasy. Feels quite different to the stereotypical idea that this material must be all for paedophiles.
I think so. It is fantasy. In boys' love, there's that feeling of your heart beating that you remember from when you read female manga. I think there are many who read boys' love to experience that feeling again.
Compared to most of the material I've seen, Esto Emu's stuff is relatively tame. But she tells me her manga hasn't been published in Canada because of concerns it would fall foul of the law there. And she feels it would have been at risk if Japan had approved a ban.
Why is it important to you to be able to show sexual activity with people under 18, sort of young people, teenagers?
It's understandable that people want to ban it. In some works, you can see really young girls or boys being raped. But if we want to express the emotions created when people under 18 have sexual relationships, we can't get there without drawing sex. Cutting that kind of thing would limit the range of expression of the whole genre.
So a ban wouldn't just have gotten rid of violent sexual images featuring very young children. It would also have threatened a wide range of material which has a mainstream following – women, men, old and young. That helps understand why it wasn't banned last June. Japan's lawmakers were reluctant to put potentially millions of manga fans – and the companies who make money selling to them – on the wrong side of the law. But while their fantasies might still be legal, some are concerned that they reflect deeper issues in Japanese society. There's quite a scene happening here outside a shopping mall in central Tokyo. You can hear the sound of a band called Candy Zoo. They're aged from about 10 to 13 years old. They're all dancing around on stage very energetically, dressed in fluorescent clothes. It's all kind of sweet and innocent, but what feels a little odd is that, as you can hear, the crowd watching aren't other kids, but grown men. This enthusiastic group, probably 20 to 40 years old, just shouting and singing along incredibly loudly. You don't have to look far in Japan to find a fascination with youth. Groups like this one are common, as are their adult male fans. And when it comes to the fantasy of youth, nothing seems more popular than schoolgirls. From billboards to manga, schoolgirl imagery is everywhere. And in the evenings, on the streets of Akihabara, real schoolgirls offer to go for walks with older men for money. Something, I was told, can lead to pressure for sex.
Oh, yeah, the schoolgirls. I'm 32, and when I was a schoolgirl, when we walked to Shibuya with the school uniform, the old guy came up to us and said, please, your socks. I want to buy your socks, or I want to buy your panties. I give you $300. And some of my friends sold their socks. Yeah, I think that is disgusting. I think it's very kinky, yeah.
This is Lily. She's a popular writer.
I used to write about the 20s girls' talk, kind of like Sex and the City, Tokyo version, and I have 4 books out with that series, and now it's a new series. It says this is a grown-up talk. And actually, one thing I want to say, actually, I brought this magazine. It's interesting. It's called Otona Muse, and Otona means adult. And so it's the other culture of the being young and kawaii.
So it's kind of like the opposite of kawaii. Opposite,
yes. We women are becoming that we want to be sexy and we want to be adult, not the kawaii, the lolita.
Why is there this attraction to schoolgirls and adolescent sexuality?
I think it's all about the power that men wants to achieve. Men who are tired of strong, independent women. See, because in my mother and father's time, the economy was really good. So usually the father works and mother is a housewife. So the son, which is in their 30s now, they want to marry kawaii, yasashi, sweet girl to make it into a housewife. But now economy doesn't go that way. But there are people who, you know, business-wise, they're not successful. Maybe they're running into the fantasy with lolicon manga.
What do you think of lolicon manga?
I hate it. I seriously hate it. As a writer, you know, the freedom creation, that's one thing, right?
And so freedom of speech and freedom to create.
Yes. But as a mother, I have a strong resistance for it. I want Japan to kick out that kinky, just leave the children out of that kinkiness, even your fantasy.
There are many people in Japan, particularly women, who feel like Lily, that even if there's no proof that manga and anime cause harm directly, they're part of a society that turns a blind eye to extreme pornography, often degrading to women, and the sexualization of young people, and that these affect the roles and rights of women and children. But as these concerns get broader, are they all things that can or should be solved by regulation?
I think any type of vibrant medium that has a lot of sorts of interesting material will always have some material that others will find offensive. And that's healthy.
Dan Kanemitsu is not just a translator. He's also a passionate advocate for the maximum freedom of speech. Back at the Manga Museum, he tells me he has no truck with the idea that what appears on the page can influence what happens in real life.
We're talking about artwork, and anybody and everybody looking at it will easily say it's artwork, it's fantasy. So to saying that, well, it normalizes, well, in that case, war movies should have normalized mass murder much earlier. Fiction is fiction. We're just talking about ink on paper. There's every reason to be critical about different things. That's perfectly fine. But when you give people the authority to police others based on what they might do or what they think, that's thought policing.
So you would stand up for the right of creators to draw young children who look sort of 5 or 6 having sex. It could involve incest, rape, that sort of thing. You think is fine to be created and sold?
I'm not comfortable with it, but it is not my right to tell people how they think or what they want to share. As long as it doesn't infringe upon other people's human rights, what's wrong with having a fantasy life?
You look around and you see lots of examples of the sexualization of children and adolescents in this society. Is there a wider problem in Japan with that sort of thing, with the commercialization of adolescent and teen sexuality?
The important thing is human rights, at least, I would say, is something that has to do with protecting real children. And so how we must face up to what sort of exploitation that's being conducted is something that we really need to examine closely. Youth is for sale in Japan. There is no doubt about that.
So we've come into this store now that sells these so-called Junior Idol DVDs, and it's just immediately clear what's going on. The DVDs obviously feature very young girls, I mean, 15 and under, but some who look under 10 as well, and posed in bikinis, lingerie, that sort of thing, and the poses very obviously mimic the poses of pornography. And there are just shelves and shelves and shelves of this stuff.
Back amongst the manga stores of Akihabara, my guide this time is child protection campaigner Kazuna Kanajiri. She wants to show me something she thinks is a much bigger problem than cartoons and comics. The so-called Junior Idol DVDs we're looking at feature real children. Kazuna's just showing me another one here. I mean, this girl looks probably 5 or 6 years old.
5 years old.
5 years old. At this point in my time in Japan and coming to Akihabara, I've seen a lot of incredibly explicit material amongst the anime and manga, but even though this is technically less explicit, it's perhaps more shocking because it does involve real children, and just the sheer amount of it and the youth of these children is shocking.
I feel sorry for the children. It's gotten worse and more sophisticated since when I was a kid.
These DVDs became popular after the production of child pornography was outlawed in 1999. They dodged the law as long as the children's genitals were covered. But campaigners like Kazuna think they're now illegal after the law was strengthened last June. And what do you think should happen about this stuff?
They should close it down. People who exploit should be punished properly. It's completely illegal under the law, but the police haven't cracked down.
While some of the content in manga and anime featuring minors in sexual situations might be shocking and attention-grabbing, for now, campaigners like Kazuna feel they've got more important issues to deal with, protecting real children. But at a nearby cafe, she tells me she hasn't given up hope of a ban on manga and anime.
I want to make it disappear. By 2020, when the Summer Olympics will take place in Japan, we have to turn Japan into a country which people don't call a perverted culture.
It's a description which supporters of manga would strongly reject. But as the Olympics approach, the pressure will be on for manga and anime to be promoting what people see as cool Japan rather than weird Japan. For now, they've escaped a ban, but the battle over whether comics should be crimes is far from over. That's all from Assignment and from me, James Fletcher. You can hear more editions of the program at bbcworldservice.com/assignment. That's all from this edition of Assignment and from me, James Fletcher. You can download more editions of the program at bbcworldservice.com/assignment.